Good day, good afternoon to the whole country, to the world, on this very special day of elections. I was even stumbling on this word a little bit because I feel somewhat a bit paralyzed with my great desire to share with you a number of diversified ideas, and at the same time to share with you human experiences, which are indeed much, much wider and deeper than just one day of making our choices and decisions for this country. Before I will start my usual and very warm tradition to thank BBS for their another production of Lena Life and another opportunity for me to connect to all of you. And especially this usual becomes very unusual because, as I said, the day of election and making decisions time, making one to reflect, to think that much harder, and to go sometimes to the extreme of exercising mental, emotional, and last-minute decisions. I like to start from something which perhaps doesn't have direct connection to this day, and then somehow we will find our secondary roads with different stops, different pictures, and then we will come to some global issues of economy, politics. We'll touch some psychology. So with this, a little bit of a threat of more of a fundamental issues, I like to reflect on something which is very modest, relates to my own experience, where indeed I realize that our modern society represents so many immediate, unexpected challenges. And in fact, to make decisions and to elect the right decision at the right moment can be quite challenging. I will tell a little story, which at the moment created quite a bit of a stress, but then it turned into the humor. At one time, I was preparing for my program, and it goes back a few months ago, and I started with my usual reading and searching for some interesting parts of life and work of one of my guests. And of course, I was on the internet. Of course, I was on a website. Of course, I was traveling through link to link. And suddenly, from his very interesting philosophical, historic research, I found myself on the site for rental cars. Wow. I truly couldn't understand. And I was so scared because I spent so much time already investing in understanding, comprehending all this material. And suddenly, when I found myself on that website, I was in slight panic because I thought that I lost all these previous pages, buttons, links, whatever I already managed to find. So my frustration was a little bit smoothed out because I do love cars. And the picture of this rental agency was phenomenal. That's the longest limousine one can imagine. In fact, I was piled with the questions, how many wheels it needs to have? Is it having one engine or five engines? So I was drowned in this beautiful shape of this limousine. Thankfully, in the back of my mind, I was a little bit kicked to the front of my mind, saying to myself, that's not where you're supposed to be. You're not quite ready for the limousine. You better be prepared for your program. It took me another probably 20, 25 minutes to find my way back. After I found myself in that frustrating time, I had a little thinking journey. And I said to myself, Well, with all your experience, education, et cetera, the most important language today is a computer language. You're just not familiar yet. And any 6 or 7 years old would perform this task in less than 30 seconds and would make fun of me, rightfully so, because it is so simple for this little brain. But it was so difficult, so frustrating for my own grown-up mind. So when I was thinking this way, and when I was analyzing to what extent we can be thrown off from our main focus, and how much time it can take to get back to this focus, and thank God if you remember what was that first focus, and you have not been seduced by that sidetrack focus. There are so many different layers, so many different thinking patterns I went through that I found that it was a remarkable lesson for myself to see to what extent we exposed and to what extent we are challenged to make these interconnections. And if we don't, we're lost. So the question of election today, in a sense, is a product of how many of those interconnections we made prior to this. What indeed formed our decisions? What indeed helped us to orient ourselves? We are certainly not enough equipped with the time, with our energy, to go through all this thorough analysis and to go through this thorough understanding, especially needless to say, the economy and mental stress almost reached us to the point when we feel this is enough. I just cannot comprehend that much. And yet, it is there. It needs to be addressed and has to be actually put in a very final point of our decision. So coming back to this story which I had made me think about my most passionate concern is education. And fortunately, country now is very focused on this. It took several years of setbacks. It took some social realizations. It, needless to say, took so much pain to realize that our younger generation is deprived for many reasons. And it's very, very easy to criticize. It is much harder to find a proper solution or to be brave enough to look for one because we are trying to see so many different things at the same time. And I feel if someone would ask, what is the real different signature of our times? I would say it's multitask. All universities, school system, some private courses, usually segregated to certain subjects. And United States still is the best in Ivy League schools and PhD programs. But it is not as strong in our elementary, middle, and high school education. And my personal vision of that is because these young minds need to be open up to this interconnectivity in our lives, where if they feel overwhelmed by certain things, it should be discussed. I feel that small booklets of some political and social events an international arena should be introduced in the classrooms. Yes, there is a political science, there is a social science, but I don't think it is very well defined in divided in world socialization. And what comes in mind is a wonderful program of one journalist on CNN, Mr. Fareed Zakaria, who introduced his program with the title GPS. And indeed, he was talking about restoring American dream, or name of a title close to that. He invited very qualified guests, and it took about three or four people to talk about two different things, economy, politics, and some other issues, how to expedite our economic improvement, if not full recovery, which will take time. But some elements which had to do with the stock market mentality, corporate world. So it took about four people, I believe, three or four people to talk about those basic issues. And yet when we are coming to our task every day, we have all of those issues for ourselves. And I feel that the term which was used, a globalization and comprehension of what's going on in the world, is extremely revealing and very descriptive. So the challenge is to take this globalization reality and globalize our mind and our intellect to relate to this, at least to know that we have to have these ingredients that 5, 10, 20 years ago, we could have a wonderful soup with 3, 4, 5 ingredients. But now we need to add a few others. And in fact, they should come perhaps from different nationalities. So we have a taste of another part of the world. Start to think, to form our opinion, not to feel a stranger. It is an incredible phenomenon that United States, who was always a leader, is still the leader, but it just, for the moment, lost its inertia, and it has to recharge itself. And as this Mr. Fareed Zakaria pointed out, he said that United States was the power of the world, or something close to this. Forgive me if I misquote him. But the idea was that the whole world was rotating around the placement of the United States. Now, United States is the part of the world. So in order to gain this prestigious role again, this country with obviously, with us people, should have this much broader vision, because it's just not enough to understand any longer what is going on inside of your country. You have to have a little smell, a little taste of what's going on beyond the country. What are measure tape for other nationalities with knowledge, a little bit of perhaps cultural, a little bit artistic, but also with some economic hurdles. Because as bad as we might think sometimes, we are here with our challenges. There are places in the world which are so much worse. And there are places in the world where people being still exploited, and they are still have those terrible invasion of human rights. I would go as far to say human bodies. Just today in the news, I heard that 10 years old girl in Spain gave a birth of a little girl or boy. And justification was for that it is acceptable in some part of Spain and its culture. So right there, we are having just another human image. So it's a little bit of a wake-up call, a little expansion, a little ideas which we can use coming back to our own world and to have a sharper image about our own tasks. And on this day of election, I had frankly heard for the first time something which is, I would say, 50-50. Something troubled me, but something was very honest and very revealing, because in our local television channel, a couple of women said, "We're not going to vote because we're taking our votes very seriously. We're not sure, we're not clear, and we don't feel responsible to vote." I cannot imagine a more powerful statement in a most democratic society, because in one sense, that was freedom of choice, not to vote. In the same time, what a painful thing not to use and not to take advantage of our Constitution, right to vote. If I will make a little bridge to my next thought, I think the best way I would do by saying one phrase of Anthony D'Angelo, who beautifully expressed the thought of open mind. He said, "Your mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's open." Let's have our piece of music to expand our minds even more. And then we will continue our conversation on the day of election. This is Lena Life. We're coming back to our discussion. Where election time becomes so significant. And I do not want to go into some idiosyncrasies and complexities, particularly of the concept of Republican Party and Democrats. I respect intelligence of American public and American citizens, and they will make their own choice and their own decision. What I, however, like to touch upon the fact that there is not enough clarity, in fact, to comprehend, to be, if not comfortable, but somewhat clear. What is what? Who is who? What is particularly disturbing is the fact that we are facing some fear of self-expression. I will stay away from criticism, and I will indeed honor this fear, because there is a horrible, unfortunately, ground for that fear, which was provoked by September 11th. And that really shook mentality of the people, and I mentioned this in my special program on devoted to September 11th. But there is a more to that. Let's take again a little microscopic example. Economy is very difficult. Some people lost their homes. The devastation is not to describe. Of course, anyone will go to any kind of extreme to earn money. And vulnerability, unfortunately, takes place of even minimum security, minimum peace of mind. So people are very predisposed to perhaps some steps which under regular conditions they certainly would not be responsible for. And it is not a secret that our politicians have not only control, they're not only having tremendously important role and responsibilities, but they used it to some touch of negative, because they themselves are under the pressure, because they themselves have to make some economic adjustment. And please, someone in whose hands we have this economic progress. So we have this chain of reactions, which, of course, crowned with the corporate world. And, of course, it's a extremely difficult balance between a Republican vision, where people simply say they are for a wealthy. And there is really nothing wrong with this, because this country was built on wealth. The problem is that because there are some economic transformations and very abrupt changes which took place, this stature, this sculpture of capitalistic empire did not fall down, but it has some cracks. And those cracks are incredibly painful. So when government steps in and trying to fill these cracks with some policies, with adjustments, with recovery, it's certainly not a very easy task. So as a result, we have this incredible clash of those two ideology, I should say, two visions, which has this ideology with a tremendous responsibility, because it should be much more meeting of the minds than meeting of frustration. But we're human. So when these issues piling up, and when good intentions came to very negative results, of course, these frustrations became somewhat emotionally vicious. And it is just spreading like a virus through the whole country. And when there is no clear program, which is very understandable because it's terribly difficult to create one, the anger becoming the main program in people's mind. The fear and anger, most profitable negative marriage of human being. And that all can be conquered with one thing, better education. Because if our children will be more expanded in their school years with a vision which needs to go just beyond arithmetic in elementary school, beyond some more complex chemistry and other literature and artistic classes in the middle school. And by the time they're in the high school, they should not have any problems to write properly, but they should have ability to think, conceptualize, and be prepared, if not for the college, but for the world at their own rights. So they will not be just in the hands of the computer, which is remarkable, which is absolutely fantastic, speedy tool with information which can boggle you before you even know it. But they have to have their own mind computer, independent, because sometimes computers failed. In fact, even computer can get tired. But human mind is always on, and it's question how we are using it, how much we will put in this child's, then teenager and young adult's information, in what form, and how thoughtful process should be according to our modern times, that we know that it is our responsibilities as a teachers to bring this information to the classroom. And just to make a little example to substantiate what I'm talking about, I'm, for example, proposing to have something like weekly documentary about what's going on in the world. We can certainly talk about some historic events. We can certainly talk about some wars. We can talk about some artistic events, but just to expand this child's mind. So before she and he will get very frustrated with lack of information, and they are, they just take it in their own way. They will be nourished with this information. So next time they go to the computer, they will not get stuck with this, looking at the limo for 20 minutes like I was, because I just was lost. I didn't know what to do. So they would look at the computer and they will say, well, it is great to be on a Facebook for 10, 15 minutes, but not for 2 or 3 hours. Because this socialization, even though it's very fruitful exchange with a vibrant young minds, but it will be somewhat more on the intuition level. They will be certainly, they will get this message. This is enough. And I need to go back to my real world where I'm not only studying, but when I can have sense of the whole world. It is unfortunately only privileged a few who can have this exchange programs. And I remember when my son had a guest at our house, that was quite an experience because a young girl came to us. She was with us for about maybe 3-4 days. She did not say a single word. I thought I was the lousiest host. It took me a little time to understand. She felt that she came to the greatest country in the world and that she simply was not good enough even to speak out. So after she realized that we just human beings as she is, that we can have a few sharings with her thoughts. And I think she was a musician, so I think we did share something artistic at that time. She revived, not to the point when she became totally comfortable, but at least I felt that she felt that she's a human being. So that just tells you to what extent young brain and young people, young adults, are sensitive. And no wonder we're having so many issues right now with them. I hate to say, but it's almost natural because parents preoccupied with their issues, their mental challenges, economy, and they need time without any compromise. And when I talk about time, I'm talking about the quality time. I remember I discussed this with Dr. Shefali at one point, who wrote a very thoughtful book about parenting. We talked about this wonderful celebration of being together with our children, even if it is 3, 4 minutes. And that's, of course, sometimes, even that, of course, sometimes ask to expect. So therefore, it has to be collaboration. Obviously, school and teacher and life in school. If there will be some interconnection between family and social life, then I think such a cruel thing as a bullying will diminish. I would imagine that issue with peer pressure will be somewhat diminished. It is not an overnight solution, of course. But when I hear about changing system of education, I'm a little bit afraid of this word system. I like to use more of a vision of education because that opens right away to great creative measure, creative opportunity, which children are so sensitive to, and they do appreciate that so much. All these special needs children who have some learning disabilities actually have special talents. In my experience, they are just undiscovered. So special needs sometimes are special challenges for the teachers and for the parents. So coming back to the globalization idea, I think it should be a globalization of education with a vision, with the resources, where all elements of creativity with all unrestricted teachers' fantasies should be as an addition to regular curriculum, regular academic program. So we will certainly continue on the next level our discussion, where again, an education and, as I said, vision of education will be almost like a main theme. And after we will listen to another beautiful piece of music, we will talk about the way how to get into this new vision of education without much of a financial challenges. How would we measure quality with realistic approach towards quantity, which is economy. So Julian Lampert is going to share with us his another just fantastic piece of music. We will catch on our thoughts, and Lena Life will be on after this musical moment.
Thank you.
And with a thought about children and education, I left you all with the idea that this vision of education should be changed. It should be like a magnet of our modern times. And certain things much easier to say than done. We are so well aware that cuts being made in schools for music and some art. And it is really, it's very debatable, but at the same time, we all know that certain scientific subjects and literature history should be a foundation. No one can argue with this. But what I'm proposing is not to make actually separate subjects and hire a separate teacher and create these funds which are not there. What I'm proposing is to have a part of the class life where this documentary, which the same principal teacher will show to the students, will have this element of music or art or any kind of artistic message. So there is a some compromise, because instead of just having a privilege to have special piano, violin, or any other instrumental lesson, for which there is no money, at least for now, but it can be addressed through this general education. And classroom can be that much more nourished, that much more refreshed. Can you imagine if you do mathematics and suddenly teacher would say, well, this equation really brought another equation in my mind. How, for example, in European countries, which certain artistic went to place and created a fantastic communication between this singer and this artist. Let's look at this artistic equation. So this 10-15 minutes sheet, for example, at the end of the class, right there, will give this food for the imagination, something to remember about this class, something to remember about the teacher, something to think and feel special about that very day. And of course, children are learning so quickly, and we'll know it goes very quickly to their subliminal mind, to their little wonder box, and it will take some time for them to internalize this, to think about this, and to bring it back with some kind of a useful material application. But they will have those tools. They will have this wonderful expansion. It brings me to one mentioning, which actually tickled my imagination. Charlie Rose and his wonderful program, inviting different guests. In fact, I will share a little secret. The model of his program is somewhat a little example of model for my own programs, because I like to have it very diversified, total unexpected, somewhat a little unclear, to leave you with some thoughts, maybe to think, well, our host a little eccentric, we couldn't quite get what she said today, but maybe we'll do it in our minds tomorrow. So I like to leave this unfinished business with our thought and imagination, totally being responsible and respect the base and foundation. If you don't have roots, the imagination somewhat shaky. So I take this tremendous privilege of being sometimes jumpy, unpredictable, spontaneous, only because I like to honor our quality of imagination. And that brings me to this program of Charlie Rose, who had a just incredibly talented Yes, his name is Professor Eric Kandel. He's a professor of Columbia University. And I will be perfectly honest with you. I went to the eye doctor today and I had to have some drops on my eyes just for the examination. So I cannot read at all. So I only can speak. Hopefully, I can think very clearly. And therefore, forgive me that if my quotations are somewhat a little rough, but I will do my best to honor the thought. And the thought is exactly what we're talking about, imagination. He invited another guest who has one problem. This gentleman is face blind. I hope some of my listeners know what it is. It is extremely difficult to explain, but it is a certain brain disorder which has some kind of a neurological ground and reason for that. And that certainly creates a different internal life in an individual. And the person who was invited to this program, his name is Oliver Sacks. Name I remember because I just was mesmerized by his paintings. One of the paintings had a human face. Human face was described with a collection, almost like a kaleidoscopic bouquet of different miniature forms of triangles and some other geometrical configurations. And it was absolutely clear human face, which he indeed cannot see, I understood, in real life. What was particularly stunning to me, his description of the process, how he decided to create a human nose. He said, I could do it more vertical, I could do it more horizontal. He described the process. And he said, but I need to emphasize, it was very important to me the process, how I made the decision to create this certain type of shape of the nose. And when I heard this, it hit me like a rock with a question. Do we have a time for any kind of process in our life? We try, but we're greatly deprived because the amount of colossal information which we get, and if we cannot process this, we feel guilty because we feel, my goodness, after all, again, computer, amount of information which we get from obviously television, radio, and other objects are so unrestricted in this amount, in a quantity of information. And when I said amount and quantity information, I make a strong difference because amount just a general. But then we start to think, this information, let's say about the weather, but this one about politics, this one about health issues. So we're constantly polarized and we're trying to comprehend this enormous amount of little and big things. I would share with you my expression, which I use with my students. I feel that the world can consist of little big things and big little things, and it's up to us to make this decision. So coming back to this very talented gentleman who is a brain specialist, Professor Eric Kandel, I need to say that he stressed the fact of the imagination to the maximum. Of course, my usual connection to Albert Einstein, who said something like that, that it is more important to have imagination than amount of knowledge, I would be somewhat a little cautious because Albert Einstein could afford to say this because he had enough knowledge on so many areas. But to take the emphasis of the imagination is so incredibly important because in our times, imagination easily relate to art, music, and entertainment, when indeed it is a raw, most unbeatable quality, tremendous power engine to learn, because imagination and curiosity are just at each other as beautiful honey to the tea. And if we use that power in our little children, and we give them that tool to use it in concept, to use it as a thinking process, right there we have other interconnections. And I will be very clear on this. If child has power of unrestricted imagination, and that imagination is used as part of his tool, as part of his potentials, immediately this child is getting self-confidence, self-assurance. Ignorance will be nourished and substituted with the knowledge and this imagination. Imagination is a comfort zone. Imagination also, very importantly, can serve us with the moments of doubts, because we naturally ask ourselves question, well, how about this? How about that? So we're exercising all our abilities, and they are imagination, with, of course, the knowledge, which obviously is so incredibly important. So when we expand classroom imagination to other places in the world, and we started to have this dialogue between a classroom in any school in the United States with any kind of events in the world, I cannot imagine more powerful expansion of imagination, thinking, conceptualizing, and to be even fancier, to have inner and interconnection. I'd like to have another little piece of music here, and kindly enough, Julian Lampert is so resourceful. In fact, he is very close to have his own CD, which will be available for sale once our website will be done. And to go even further, I will, in fact, I cannot wait to dedicate one of my special Christmas program to our brand new company, which will have a name, The Music Garden. This is my little link to a wonderful piece of music by Julian Lampert. And we are back with our thoughts regarding an education. And I guess I will make my final link to the election day. Perhaps it is a bit of a dream world. But again, we certainly can afford to have one, especially if it is structured and pointed to the right direction. And my dream world is telling me that if we already would have been in a better position with our education, our generation already would be more equipped to deal with domestic problems and international problems. And certainly, the decision to vote for certain candidates will be that much more clear. It is unfortunately, but it's certainly separation and polarization in the country, not only regarding the issues, but also regarding the different status of intellectual and intelligent development. So we mostly depending from the television journalism, which we should, but not only. I believe that we should discuss much more intensely, more involved with personal discussion regarding this election day, with issues which are perhaps very personal. Because every little village which are facing now problems is similar to big cities with the same economical issues. So the better we connect, the more we can comprehend, the better voting quality we can present. So I have to say that perhaps I'm not terribly confident that young generation can participate the way they deserve because they're simply not informed enough. Because their educational level perhaps was not adequate enough to comprehend some issues, to know their candidates, to know some conflicting ideas. So I do hope that for our next election, we not only will learn our lessons, but that we will try to change fear into some useful information. That this imagination I was talking about would not be just inside of the mind. It will be expressed and shared between the minds. So it will not be just in scientific labs where imagination, in fact, tremendously powerful. It will be among young people. It will be between children and the parents. So discussions are a result of combination, this family and school life. And I hope that if those two start to communicate in much better level, in much more open level, with no magic or shortcuts, just start better communication. Then this vision of education I was talking about can bring America back to this very high standards, which it once was in education, that the borders between private and public schools will be thinner. But the communication between private and public schools will be wider. By the way, then I believe the price for education will go lower because if public schools will have a better quality of education, then obviously it will be tremendous progress in state schools, in state colleges. So those ground roots will bring eventually those roses which will sustain and will bring beautiful aroma for our young generation. I will conclude by by saying that as painful as modern reality it is in the United States, but we will find medicine or combination of the medicine. It will take that piece of imagination with a very hard work. No doubts about that. With all of this, I would say that America is still beautiful, and the people in this country deserve to feel that this beautiful country will be again be proud to be called beautiful America. On this note, I will continue to final piece of music, which indeed my composer called America is Beautiful. And we will start this music, and I will, with the company of this music, I will thank BBS for another production of Lena Life, and thank people who are indeed have phenomenal imagination. That's why we are artists, feeling so comfortable making all kinds of programs in this beautiful station. On this note, until next Tuesday, that was Lena Mirmont, Lena Life. Goodbye to all, and please vote with your conscience and hopefully good promise.